Do not adjust your radio frequency. This is not a test. This is the Artist First Network. Cool.
Welcome to another broadcast of Bigfoot Central on the Artist First World Radio Network. We believe it is the longest-running Bigfoot program on the planet, and it is a platform for the free exchange of ideas. You're free to think what you want and send us an email. You can tell us whatever you would like. You can hit us up at dj@artistfirst.com. MK Davis is off tonight, but hosting by himself. It's a solo effort. I'll try to chip in when I can. It is Mr. Don Monroe. Hey, Don.
Hello, radio world and all the ships at sea. I guess I'm here tonight in place of MK Davis. He apologizes for the absence. He has to work. Of course, everybody understands that. It's his priority right now. But anyway, we have a good show tonight ahead of us, and there's things posted that are pretty self-explanatory, and I think we can get into this right away when Scott's ready. I just might add one more thing. I just came back from doing extensive research in the Hawaiian Islands for my efforts in the plating of horses, which is plating of horses' manes is mysterious out there. And this also ties in somewhat with wild man anomalies that I believe are pertinent, and that might come about tonight in some question and also some explanation. So let's have it, Scott, wherever you want to go from there.
Well, let's, of course, direct people to surf on over using the Bigfoot Central link on our homepage. Surf over to the Bigfoot Central page where we have, you'll have to make another click, drop down and where it says for May 2012 show photos, click here, and that will take you to the stuff that we're talking about. The first thing MK sent us to post, Don, was several YouTube links. I have not had the chance to look at all of these yet. Maybe we could leave those where they are. Well, it says...
They titled Crick Walker and Whitey's Run.
Yes. Now, let me explain a little further. It says, newly uncovered surveillance camera tapes of a white Bigfoot in the deep south. And then there are numerous links there. And below that, MK has sent us quite a few still photos. Creek Walker arm and leg, Creek Walker left arm. These are the titles of the pictures he sent me. Creek Walker left arm, Creek Walker both arms. So I guess listeners, there are at least six links to YouTube that you can go watch. And in the meantime, we can start discussing the stills. What's the story behind this? This is a game cam somewhere in the south?
Well, it's covert right now for now, but it will come out. Some people know about it, but it's very, very much in the QT right now. But it does exist, and it's non-fake. And what do we have here is incredible, and it's opened new ideas of avenues of variations in Sasquatch possibility. I'm amazed by what's on it, and there's a lot more to come. When MK, he's ingenious the way he does on his film breakdowns, and you all know that. His enhancements are beyond dispute, and I don't know how anybody could doubt the real truth. We're not talking here about the age of Aquarius and trying to change things with film, messing with films. MK does a real job, and let's show some things tonight on here that has been posted that's going to be incredible. I can explain part of it to you, and I think there's some things here that are really, really outstanding about this.
Well, you know what? I clicked on the first link. Let me just say this to the listeners. I clicked on the first link, and it looks like MK is giving a bit of an audio presentation. So if you view these videos while the show is on, you're going to hear both audio at the same time. So perhaps you guys can listen to the broadcast now and go back and look at the videos later for that reason, so you don't have two sound files running at the same time. All right, Don, I know you don't have a PC in front of you, so let me describe to you the first picture that's MK has titled Creek Walker arm and leg, And as I look at this photo, I can see what appears, almost appears to me, to be similar to what you'd see if it was a knight in armor. It's very shiny, it's very bright, and you can see a head and a shoulder and an arm. Your thoughts?
To explain that partially, is it's white. It's white-colored, two white-colored entities that are amazing. And this is can be explainable somewhat. And also the arm and leg thing is you want to show in there the possible height of the creatures, calling that. And also the physique, which is amazing with very much muscular attributes. And then, so that's what it's all about. But the white-colored Sasquatch in this case, they're not unusual. I've had them reported many times to me, several times to me over the Idaho, Montana area too. And then in the swamps, we have known this before, and that it might be caused from being grizzly in age also. And there's another indication there, it'll come to that when I get there, that might indicate that possibility. But besides that, the gene pools vary in different parts of the country. I believe this implicitly, that there's more than one type of Sasquatch that are relative to one another, basically. But they're worldwide, and also they have to be differences in what their gene pool are. And then the consanguinity, which goes into the genes of the different productions of animals according to the mutations possible. White is not that unusual in all animals. Well, most of them are killed off at the birth when they get like a blackbird, for example. So this could be what it is, the white people. I mean, this hair people in this case, and so that's what that's supposed to indicate, the shiny color.
And you know, I remember Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and the white abominable snowman. You think that's not the case in nature, but white animals in nature, you know, I would have not thought that to be a natural thing, but gee, I guess there are lots of...
Well, Scott, you got to remember that the Yeti of Tibet and Bhutan and those countries is often depicted as white. And you got to remember there's two kind of entities there known as the abominable. One's the abominable Sasquatch, which they call, not Sasquatch, but Yeti, they call that, a snowman. And then the one that they don't tell about much, and my book does, is called the snowman. And the snowman or snowmen, according to the Buddhist monks, that have forgotten humanity from ages back, and they don't even identify as human today, but they recognize that they are that, but they run wild in the mountains, those Himalayas, and it's white is not unusual. There's been films done in the past of our lifetime, going back quite a ways, even past A and B, C films that showed the Yeti being depicted white and half male man and so on, up in the Nepal area and so on. And so the white is not unusual. And in the early Argosy magazines, it was often depicted that way in films and in illustrations.
Well, and so, yeah. What about the possibility that it isn't always white? I remember going to high school with a kid who was in his mid-teens when he went completely gray. I mean, it could just be certain Sasquatches, as they age, their hair color turns white, just like we do.
Exactly right. I meant the first part of the show, I put out the word grizzly. Well, grizzly bears and even black bears get some grizzly colors at times. And I'm grizzly all over. I've been around a little while. I got, early on in my life, I got white sideburns. When I was even 25 years old, looked like I had a half white, half darker hair. So, you know, that can occur at any time. Even some children, there's a condition, I can't name it now, where people age early on and they become very white-headed before age 12 or 15 years old. So there's a lot of things here. We don't understand the Sasquatch genetics and all these things to consider. But I do know that I've had reports. And what else is interesting here, as you will see later on in this whole depiction here tonight, I've had the same stories told me 15 years ago in some of the Idaho territory and Montana border areas of a white creature just like this and doing similar what's going to be explained on the show here tonight. So they're not unusual. Once a miscue happened on another radio show I was on one time, I'd asked the question myself of why they're white. And I started to explain that very thing we just talked about. And the guy jumped in on the radio. I said, go on your show no more. I never will. But he said, I can answer the question. He said, like the ptarmigan and like the weasel and so on that turns white when the first snow comes, the snowshoe rabbit. I said, that's not what they are. But the world didn't know I didn't believe that. I couldn't debate that at the time. But they don't turn white according to seasons. So like Scott explained, yes, they could turn early on grizzly or later on white-colored according to their age. I think it's very possible.
Well, and of course, we know there are albino examples in every species.
Correct.
Although this does not look like an albino, it looks to have not solid white. It's, you know, it might even be a mix from the distance. It's hard to tell if it's completely white or if it just has, you know, some white and gray areas.
Light differences there, too. You know, you can't see because it's not completely daylight. And so, you know, as you know, colors can vary very much in any kind of hue.
This is true.
So, yeah.
MK, the title that MK sent for me to post, let me scroll back up, says, surveillance camera tapes of a white Bigfoot then in the deep south. So, you know, again, if this Sasquatch grew up in a predominantly cold area, we might think it, you know, had like a polar bear, it would have white fur. But, boy, in the deep south, I don't know. That might even be a disadvantage to have white fur in the deep south. There's not too many other animals, are there, in the deep south that are white?
Well, you know, not literally, but you're correct in what you're thinking. I understand that. But nevertheless, you got to remember the gene pool they came from wasn't necessarily southern. And in my theories, and my theories are verbatim, they came from other parts of the world. And they came here long ago. And then this is another topic. But when they were imported here from the old-time voyagers, you might say that, the ancient voyagers, they were up to parts of Europe, Eurasia, where it was cold. And then if you look at the longitude and latitude of the world, the main events of these Sasquatch sightings and so-called Sasquatch, you'll find the elevations are very similar in North America as they are in Eurasia. Elevation like from Korea to Idaho, almost the same exact winters, and so on, and China to parts of our higher California mountains and across the Great Basin Wilderness. It's almost the same elevation. They predominantly prefer that, but where the south occurs, of course they were brought there and let go once upon a time, and they didn't migrate there, but they might have infiltrated there by the food chain. There's no migration about them. They don't migrate. They go with the food where they got to go, 20 feet or 25 yards, or 2.5 miles. But they don't migrate, literally. That's been a misconception for a long time. They don't go north to south, east to west. So the question still is why they're white. They aren't all white, but there's, you got to remember, if something's born white in a nest, say a bird, and it doesn't get killed by the parent or whatever, an earthquake could come by, well, it could be a chance for it to survive. And they can't be white in a sequence unless they have a like member also mate with them. So if two white birds mated together, it's a set anomaly forever. You can't change it. It's done. So it's, you know, it's a mutation. So these could be a mutative copulation at some past time in the historical history of the Sasquatch life.
Well, listeners, take a gander at those links that MK has sent us to post. Again, they will have sound on them, so they will conflict with your stream right now. So let's leave that for listeners to do following the broadcast to look at those videos and come up with your own conclusions. After all, that's what this program's all about. Put out ideas. You guys think what you will of them. It's a free exchange platform. And I guess we're going to move into the rest of the photographs we have listed there, folks, as you can see, are quite interesting. They are manes of horses, and they are braided. Okay, give us the background on this, Don.
Well, I just went on a show last week on the Jeva Bob show. I request on this very subject. I wrote a book, and it's done now, and I've got to find a publisher. I'm having a hard time with this. Anyway, he posted on there a few things in his show. I didn't see them, of course. I live in a cabin. But anyway, I've been doing research very heavy since December of last year, just recently, that's the last 5 months. And it entails a long story. I won't get into all that, but I basically on the moon phase. I was in Oregon over on the coast at the time it happened, pending on the last moon phase of December, which is, from memory, 11th, 12th, and 13th. They had an eclipse of the moon about to happen. So I drove 600 miles from the Oregon coast over to where I could go on the Oregon ranches over there, the Hink and the Jensen ranches, where a lot of plagues going on. And I happened to get lucky that there 3 days, and during that time, there was plating being done, and I have pictures to prove this, of plating done that emulate almost suggestive of the moon phase itself, of the eclipse of the moon. Well, I continued on the same theory, and it's been going on for those months in sequence. The next full moon is, right as you know, April, May 5th will be the next one. The last moon phase, April 6th, passed, and so on. I get close contact these horses, and it's been repeatedly done in this phase time, not the same night, but in this same phase time, which night I'm not sure, but it's right around that time. Well, my theory is that there's a reason for this plating. And what's also interesting never occurred to people ordinarily in the conversations, but it never seems to occur on donkeys, mules, and hennies, and jackasses, and so forth. Now, if it's going to be the wind doing this, why wouldn't it do them too? Well, it doesn't do anybody on the wind like this. I've got wind samples as well taken from also dusting horses that rolled around on the ground. And there's nothing similar to this plating being done.
These are not wind. Looking at these, just being intellectually honest, I think very few people could look at these photos and think that this was wind blowing it into these shapes. That's almost preposterous.
I just came back from interviewing Mrs. Hank again, Norma Hank, last week on her ranch ground in Oregon. And I had her verify what I've written before, and she's 100% adamant about it. And she, for over 40 years, over 40 years, cut those blades off and never knew what they were. And you might say she's naive, she admits it, but she always felt like there was something she couldn't explain. She never did get involved in it because they were busy people. But Neil, the one is going to be in the book, one of the headings of the book, he's a very important person, a famous horse trainer. He's depicted in there also with a plated mane. He's examining one of them. These things are not fake. This really does happen, and it's more than amazing. And what's amazing, it's been going on for thousands of years. And so my moon theory, explained in my book I wrote, it's called The Horses Are Coming, explains how and why it might be going on, and what is the conclusion of why it's being done, and perhaps in possibility, and how even, and sometimes by who and what. And so, Scott, I've got some ranchers that are now excited about this who had no idea what they've been seeing for years, and they've always wondered about it.
Well,
The
first photograph they sent me to post, folks, it's, if you look at Horse Mane 1 JPEG, now, Don, you can't see this, so let me describe it to you. It's a close-up of the neck of a horse. The horse is kind of tan, grayish in color.
And I know the one it is. I recognize it.
And the horse's mane has red hair, black hair, and brown hair as part of the natural horse's mane. And when you look closely at this braiding, you can see that they've changed colors. I mean, of course, you could say that was just random when they grabbed the hairs, but this was made. This just didn't blow into this thing. And I would love to hear an explanation. And anyone, and I'm saying this in an open fashion, seriously, anybody got any ideas? How the heck does this happen? You come out
well, Scott, one thing I can tell you about that, you know, you notice that mane's a lot longer than the natural mane growing. Let's just say it's 14 inches where it grows off there, and that's about 28. How in the world can you braid something and get longer? It's shorter, and naturally it does. We found out recently, and it was discovered by Phil Jensen, the wrangler down on the ranch. He pointed it out to me, and I was astonished because he figured it out. And I've been watching it close since afterwards. You'll notice very closely on the horse's tail, it's hard to see. They cut this off with some sharp instrument, like a piece of obsidian or something, a piece of glass. Not a knife, not scissors. And they braid these hairs into the mane that varies the color somewhat. Now, this is beyond belief. I found a tail. I've still got it, and I talked to Mrs. Hink about it. In her field, it was pulled off of a horse a few years ago, mysteriously left on the field out there, dropped or something, and we think they might have pieces of horse tail taken with them from other horses. And there's a lot explained in the book. I think it might take time here to explain it, but there's a lot of things done because of multiple hairs being used. And that's one idea, and it's not founded, but it's about as good as I can get to this point. And
listeners,
anybody has a clue, let's hear about it.
Yeah, seriously, if you're listening to this show live or an archive, I'd like to hear some I'm out of ideas. I got nothing, folks. First of all, you'd have to be from the ground to the horse's mane is how many feet?
Horses are, you know, it's, you notice how much longer it is than the natural mane, that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I totally agree that. When you look at that very first photo that I've clicked off at Horse Mane 1, Don's absolutely correct. Look at the length of that braid. Follow it all the way up to the top, and you can see that the hairs on the mane right there are nowhere near that long. That's a great observation.
Else, Scott. I've taken over 60 samples that I've got in my box right here in front of me right now. And I've measured a distance from the ear, say that, down to the braid's beginning and where it begins and so on. As a general rule, you have a certain reason for that length down to that position. And what I'm not going to tell the whole book on here, but there's so much I've come up with. It's logical, and it's also amazing, and it also has room for improvement upon, of opinion. But the theory I have is incredible. And I just the last show I was on, an academic came on there ahead of my show, or that show, not my show, that show, and was giving me credits for what I don't know the way to say it for sure, but I had credits on there. And he said he didn't believe in Sasquatch until he seen my photographs recently, and he lives in Northern California. Well, that was a compliment, because he's adamant now to help me out to get more information from the horses in California, which I have some very good information on already. But I just came today from the plains of, well, it's up here, the plains of Montana, out near my home, examining three horses out there that were out there and are questionable right now. So I'm doing a lot on this, and it's time-consuming, and it's non... Well, no one believes in this kind of thing unless they've been with it, you know, understand it.
Well, how... Forgive me, because I think I rode a horse one time, and it bit me. So I'm not a real big, I kid you not, I still got the mark. I love, you know, all animals, but I just don't know a lot about horses. When one of the computer guys here at the station was watching these photos being posted before the show, they were discussing, well, what could this be? And one of the guys says, oh, it's just kids, you know, like, you know, pushing over a cow or something. The question I'm asking is, could a normal, let's say, 5'10" kid, teenager, reach up and do something like that? Is that out of the question? Is it?
This is done to wild Mustangs in the Nevada desert. The Paiute Indians down and I worked on that last summer, and they were, like they said, it's been going on for hundreds of years, as far as they know, and there's no explanation for it. They asked me to tell them what's going on. Well, when wild Mustangs are plated out there in the desert, I don't know what you know about horses, but you can't get near a wild Mustang unless you got a real fast horse and you've got Cliff Ever. Well, these guys are getting happened to them too, and I've got this from about 12 states right now. And to answer your question, these are done so intricately and so purposeful that there's no doubt about intricate, small, nimble fingers to do this. And I've come to the assumption that the larger ones that grow to manhood or adulthood don't do it any longer. That they're males, they're probably the protectors of the clan. They might have learned to as children, but I think it's done to teach dexterity and also bonding with wild animals and tame and domestic. And I've got now a theory going into cattle and cows as well, and tonight there's a cow picture on there coming up, and calves, and I can explain part of that too in my theory, and MK agrees with me. I explained to him this afternoon on the phone, I was talking to him. I found where there's estrus milk, which is called kismis in Asia. They make it into yogurt and so on. They still do that, and it's mare's milk. We found some of that mare's milk inside the braided, plated manes of some of the horses on the Hink Ranch. And I found it in the company of Debbie, Brenda Hink. And she was amazed. She'd lived there all her life, and she never noticed that. But the braids had milk in them. It indicates the fingers went somewhere first, and they had milk on the fingers when they plated them. Now, that's suggestive of someone's doing something for the horses, like suckling, possibly like they can do when you're suckling a calf. Well, I think this protein factor is not overlooked by the Sasquatch calling that, Sasquatch wild man. And I think now, after tonight's display coming up pretty soon about the cattle, I'll explain more about that. MK and I agree that they may have bonded with cattle as well, and there's indications on this film right here they might have done that. And I have local people here, these ranch countries. We have this last part of the last vistas of the Wild West, you might call it that, left of Montana, one of them. We have many, many cattle around here in the mountains, and they're on open range, so to speak. And there's every opportunity to have milk out there, protein milk at random if you're a Sasquatch out there. And why wouldn't they take advantage of what they can see going on from man's encroachment? They got cattle everywhere in the western country out here running around. And right now there's milk out there. And I'm going pretty fast, I know that. But, you know, you got to digest this hour. It doesn't get much said. But if you have a person, a human being even, or even a cow, giving milk for their cattle and for their baby, as long as it's being suckled, they can go on for years. And even in human beings, it makes the woman, ovulation. They don't even, can't reproduce at that time. They don't, they'll conceive. So we're going to get into this thing, not too much, but this is a really interesting thing, because if they have milk out there to be taken from these things, cattle, it's going to be protein big time. They need to have this. And I think it's going on among also the milking sheep. I've alerted one rancher down there, Phil, the same one. Phil Jensen has milking sheep. the kind that you see sometimes in pictures. And I think they possibly, you know, this same ranch are being milked too also. We're going to find out about that soon. He's missed four or five sheep, in fact, 50 of them over 5 years. And they were abducted out of his ranch with no other sign of where they went. Now, you read about this in Chinese literature and in Asian literature. They often say that the wild man, in that case, the Yeren, the Yeti, and the Amasi, and so on, likes to eat goat meat and sheep meat. Well, what does this tell us? If this is old writings, I'm just coming into this thing as by accident by doing research, and it comes right in place. So there are a lot of things here. When you can, Scott, get that cattle one up there where the calves are running around and cows standing still and so on.
Yeah, that is not part of the – all of the pictures that were sent in for tonight's show are all horse pictures.
Oh, no kidding. He told me he sent that in.
Well, if he did, I apologize. I must have missed it. But there are some fascinating like, folks, I'm looking at picture Horsemane 2008-4, and it shows – I believe that's your hand, and you're holding up what appears to be – well, this is a braided circle, and then underneath, at the bottom of it, almost makes like a letter Q, and then except that the arm that comes down off the Q is also braided, and it goes into a little loop. And, you know, we can see the size of your fingers right there on the photo. And so you're absolutely right. Some of this is pretty detailed. And if you're
a
big Sasquatch...
Here, but you've got to realize that this is done with I measured things carefully. It's done with purpose. And these almost indicate a possible stirrup or a handhold. And if you do the research, I've got in my books, goes back thousands of years, back to King Wan of China, before the horses we know today were even here. They plated the manes of horses on the small ones, smaller than Shetland ponies, actually the horses of that size, not to ride, but for meat and also for transporting baggage and children. They plated them on, they tied them on with this thing, with this braid. So you see... And the Genghis Khan and Attila the Hun rode backwards on the horses, strapped to the plating on their ankles, shooting arrows at the enemy as they retreated. So it's not a new thing. But what I'm saying here is, what if these Sasquatch were brought from Eurasia? This is what if now, of course, it was hypothetical. But what if they were brought here from the Asian theater? And when they got here, they had these traditions or this anomaly of contest or this ability, and it's been carried on for not knowing why the reason himself, but it's also a game of sorts, and it's contestable. We might see this. Well, that's part of my whole theory, and it's pretty well explained in the book in detail. And it enters the Diana, the goddess of the moon, and the different things out there. The one of the she's the goddess of the gypsies, and the all these things in there tells how the moon phase has so much to do with mankind. It's incredible. The Chinese rabbit in the moon, and so on. It just goes on and on and on. And then Native Americans, the South Americans, you go on in history, the moon has much influence on all people. And so that's where we're going from tonight on this thing. I'd like to explain if I can, when we get time to Scott, about the cattle that's not posted, but there's one thing here that's important because it really has some ramifications to the whole topic we're talking about tonight. It should be addressed a little bit.
Well, certainly. Let's proceed.
And, pardon me?
I said, by all means, let's proceed.
Okay, there's a picture I thought was posted. It's not, I guess, apparently, but MK was certain it would be in there, but he was really excited about that one because it shows a black Angus cow or a dark cow, I think it's a black Angus, and two calves. And it shows these two Sasquatch, both white ones, running toward these cattle. And the cow, the adult cow, doesn't panic or get all excited. It's just nonchalant to her. But the calves go running all around in circles, and they run off about 40 yards or more, and they get smaller in the film and show the distance they ran, and they come back toward the camera and the sort of the Sasquatch, and they show the variations of size. When standing by the cow, he points out the fact that the creature standing by the cow shows the possible height in excess of 8 feet or close to that, and it also shows long legs as it goes across a bank embankment on a dry creek bed, and it shows the legs are at least 6 feet long. They have to be to get over this bank in one step. And it also shows in the same film take, he'll post it later on, I'm sure he will, he'd be disappointed, but it shows all the same film take how these Sasquatch are almost duck walking up one portion for 40 yards. Now, I even contested this myself, because in football practice, you make a duck walk years ago, and it was painful. Well, you almost duck walk for 40 yards in a large creature. What would cause something like this in any kind of reasoning? Well, I come up with the idea, maybe when I had a back injury, it was walking like that because it was walking short step because hurting, and not just a theory, not necessarily founded, but they're both of them doing this for a short time. Now, I don't know why in the world a person would walk, duck walk. It has to take powerful leg muscles to go down and do this in the manner they're doing this. They're not squatted clear down like people know down to heels, but they're walking duck walk enough that it's very suggestive of a very strange thing. He also points out above the body of these creatures, which is massive with muscles. He shows the shoulder in this film and then the legs and stuff. And they're built like Arnold, you know who I mean, like a Schwarzenegger. I mean, pretty much like him, only even more so in different ways. They're very athletically built, and they're also, the head seems smaller to him than it should be, but it might be a delusion or, you know, or an illusion because of the size of the muscle tone and also the head, you know, according to how... On a bear, at distances, you see a large head, you don't shoot that bear. You shoot the one small-headed because it's bigger, because of the comparisons. Most hunters don't know that. But you shoot the smallest head bear you can see in the distance, you can shoot one, because that's the one you want to get the biggest bear off of. Well, the head can be very misleading, the head size on anything, including man. And then the hair, of course, if it has very much of it, would protrude in such a way that it would look bigger in body than it really is. So... what do we got here? See, that's a film that's not shown, but I had to bring it out because it was important for him to bring this
forward.
Well,
Don, actually, it may be. What I was referring to were the photographs that were sent. Now, I've been looking at the videos. There are six video links to YouTube, and I'm looking at the very first one, and I believe it's the video you're talking about right now.
Well, I hope so. I explained it, so go ahead and look at that. But
wow.
What do you want to bring out here, that it's possible the cattle... bonded with the cow in this case is bonded with Sasquatch and allowed them to suckle. If that's possible, I've got a real theory here that's almost founded in the West and the South. So it's big to me, of big importance.
Well, of course, I have the sound turned down because it would compete with our soundboard right now, but I'm looking at the top video, folks, and there's a cow, and something just walked across the screen that does not look human, and boy, is it tall.
That's the film.
That's the one you're talking about there. And this is this is impressive.
It's very incredible.
It is. And, of course, this is only the first video I've looked at. And it's 5 minutes. This single video is 5 minutes and 14 seconds. I don't know the length of the other one. So, listeners, you're going to have to probably check these out after the broadcast. And they'll be up there indefinitely. But, wow. And, boy.
Well, I explained enough to help some, but it's incredible what this has, and it's not fake. And MK says he's adamant, as far as he's concerned, is 100% this is a real article. I know that there's places that take place on this area. I've been there. And it's not recently, but I have been there. And it's impossible to fake that kind of film in that kind of country.
And I'm so...
take a whole film crew.
The fake side of things, of course, there are... complete idiots out there who have in the past attempted to fake Bigfoot stuff, but I don't know. This seems awfully real. And again, with the advent of with game cameras that you know you can strap onto a tree that only comes on when there's movement, etc. They're inexpensive and they're plentiful. There's more and more and more and more of these things being put up all around the world. It just seems to me if you throw enough nets in the water, you're going to catch some fish. Well, I think this is going to this is the exact type of technology that's just going to expose the Bigfoot for, you know, once and for all.
Well, I remind you again of the terrible thing that happened in 2003 with Ray Wallace coming forward as being the only person in the world ever made Bigfoot fake tracks and also took the valid ones. He was Mr. Guru of Bigfoot community. He changed the world view on Sasquatch, including my daughter. She don't even believe and listen to what I say about it. So the thing is, what happened to Dad, that Ray Wallace come on here with all the truth, and that hurt a lot of people who were naive about finding the truth out for themselves. And also remember the movie Harry and the Hendersons, it just blew it out of proportion. As entertaining as it was and fun, it was nothing to do with Sasquatch whatsoever, the reality. And what the thing is, a reality show, this should be what this is, we're trying to get the real proof out there. I don't care about the monetary gain or popularity or enough. I want the truth. I'm out here for a real quest, and I'm the only one. There's other guys like me, too, who want the real, honest, God's truth about what these wild men really are and how they got here. And that we have a reason for doing this. I have a reason. I can't quite put it in words, but it's not an infatuation or it's an exhilarating thing. It's one of the last adventures, you might say.
Boy,
and I just came... Yeah, go ahead.
I'm just going to say that this video is replaying itself. Don, MK is discussing something, but Boy, that you can see this creature, this humanoid-looking creature standing next to a cow. Now, how tall is a cow? I mean, 4 feet?
Well, let's say an average cow. I've milked them. I knew maybe you have, and I've pushed the grubs out of their backs and so on. I'm a kind of halfway cowboy after a fashion early on. I don't milk cows now, but I used to. And I could stand up there at age 14, 15 years old, and they were up to my chest level. And then, you know, they aren't as big as a horse, no doubt, but that they are, well, let's say, I got to guess, 4 feet.
Well, when you first see this Sasquatch step out of what looked the clearing back next, standing next to a cow, he's twice, he could step over that cow. He could just lift up his leg and step right over that thing.
The leg alone's got 6 feet high.
I'm telling you, man. And then, boy, as he moves, the cows run towards the camera, and the creature's back there, and it moves from the left to the right across, and it covers what seems to be a lot of ground.
40 yards.
For a person that's just walking? I mean, come on. I mean, it looks eerie because our eyes are not used to seeing a humanoid form move so quickly over so much distance and not be running. Maybe it is running. I guess that, but I'm just saying it doesn't look natural. That doesn't look like a person. It's moving too fast.
It's almost like machinery, almost seems like to me.
Well, but if you're 8 feet tall and your leg stride is 5 feet of pop, well, you can walk.
Yeah, easy.
You can, man.
And MK brought up the point that standing by the cow, you can obviously see the height is all of 8 feet or more. Minimum, he used the word minimal, 8 feet. And I said, yeah, I got to agree with that. And the people seeing the film will understand that. They are tall. I mean, in this case, I'm not sure. I've had reports of them at 9, 10, 12, even that in my days, and I've cataloged them. And I remind you, once I got a 24-inch foot track with three witnesses on board besides myself in the year 2006 in Idaho Desert Territory, and I don't even talk about it because it's almost impossible. But there have been tracks taken to 22 inches quite a few times and 17, a lot of times in my own case, other people's 19. It's not unusual to have a foot. So you see, the height has to be figured out from that beginning, you know, deductive reasoning and anatomy studies. You've got an 8-foot, 9-foot creature possible in some places, a lot of places.
Well, you know, what was the gentleman's name you referred to that did the biggest disservice to science in the last 100 years?
Ray Wallace.
Hey, Ray, you're a jackass. Tell him Z-Man said so.
You know what? He's not alive anymore.
We know where he's at. But what I'm saying is I could go out and manufacture what looks like a Tyrannosaurus footprint. And I could run across the mud and go, tee-hee-hee, look, everybody, these are fake dinosaur footprints. But does that mean that dinosaurs never existed? Does that mean all the history of all the cultures throughout all the centuries, that they were all in conspiracy with this nutbag that made these wooden footprints? I mean, how do you discount all of the recorded history of behind this legend because one guy made a couple footprints out of wood?
That's correct. And, you know, you got to keep in mind, Scott, that the truth depends on who you will believe in and what you will believe and what you allow yourself to believe. And it doesn't change because you don't believe in it. It goes on anyway. And so there's not a chance in these pseudo-intellectuals out there who are lay or academic who want to come up with the idea that they know the answers. No one's got the answers. No one's been there and done that. I hate that statement, I've been there and done that. No one's been anywhere and done anything that says that. And, you know, we don't know what's coming around the next hour from now. Sometimes I don't like the idea of shows a month apart because things happen weekly. We can't ever get out here in an hour's time. I'm going pretty fast. I can talk fast when I have to. And by golly, it has to be said, some of this stuff, because we don't get a chance to say it again. But real quickly here, to show you how much of a theory can be possible, in Hawaii this time for 3 weeks, I searched diligently on all the horse people I know, a few of them, including the Parker Ranch up there. I used, anyway, so there's not been one report of plating of manes done, to my knowledge, yet. If anybody in Hawaii is listening, if you could find out about plating there, I'd really like to hear about it. I went to a lot of effort to make an effort to that. And I've never found it anywhere in the Hawaii Islands a valid statement of a Sasquatch sighting. Never, ever happens, except there have been some people say so who are a little bit iffy. But I don't think it ever has happened in the Hawaii Islands. And I even cite in my book why before I went there and researched, and it came all true. Well, it has to do with the navigators of long ago, and the no minerals in the island chain of gold, silver, and so on. And they were explored early on by early mariners, and they were abandoned for the reasons of no minerals and so on. And the Sasquatch, if on board those boats as working class, and, you know, rowing the boats and so on, and intended for labor work in the Americas, were taken with them. They didn't leave them behind. So this is my theory, and you can go where you want to with it, to believe it or not, but I think it's pretty founded. I found on the black sand beaches over in Hawaii and Big Island down on the black current come from Japan and China, where it goes to California directly. It's a current like the Humboldt, and it's absolute. They did come Viking style when the ship's full rigged and come right to the Hawaiian shores. I even found a cairn, which is a pile of rocks done by the Asiatics, shore landings of where they landed on different parts of the world, and it's their landing mark, like a signature, mixed into a heiau, which is an ancient burial and also sacrificial area of settlement of the ancient Hawaiiana, of, you know, the Huna, which is another topic. But there definitely was ancient mariners to Hawaii long, long, long before the advent of Captain Cook. I mean, many, many years. And so my theory about the Sasquatch coming to North America that way is pretty likely. And it made the land bridges overloaded. So, you know, we got a lot of things to think about. But getting back to our topic, I'm getting off a little bit here, but it's all relative to it. And there's so much, and I hope there's some questions answered real quickly here by somebody who wants to call in, or else I have been. I hope they've answered a few questions for you.
Well, I've been loading these videos as you've been talking, and they're no in no particular order. In fact, the second one is about the Creek Walker. Then the third one, we're back to the original, the topic of the cows and the Sasquatch walking across the video. There's enhancements of that. So I just posted them the way they came in the no particular order, because I didn't really know what they were at the time, and they don't have any distinguishing.
The Creek Walker, Scott, is where they show these people walking duck walk, like I explained to you. And it's more than a puzzle. I never encountered it before. I never even found tracks to indicate that. But they'd have to be short trackway, because if you couldn't walk duck walk and extend your foot the full length out, which is possible. And I don't understand why it's being done, and unless it's a sneak off kind of thing. I can't imagine why they duck walk anywhere. But you might see that. I asked MK on the film what he estimated the distance they've done this. The distance, he says 40 yards. That's considerable, you know, when you're walking half. Half supportive on your legs. I don't know how a person could do that, actually. It'd be pretty hard. We can't do it. And they have some muscles we haven't even thought about. That would probably.
Well, now, again, so, I've been listening to all these videos with not listening. That's what I've not been doing. I haven't been listening to them because I have the sound turned down, because during the broadcast, the YouTube sound would actually conflict with our signal. And MK does do a lot of explaining on these videos. So after the show, I get off my shift tonight, I'm going to look into that. I was also looking at the Creek Walker video. Wow, there's some pretty good footage there.
Yes, there is.
Wow, this is
notice that duck
exciting.
Walk here.
I haven't got that far yet. Some of these videos, like I say, are 6 minutes, 8 minutes long, and we're just running.
Yeah.
I haven't had time to go through end to end of each one yet, but I certainly will, and we hope you guys do out there, listeners. And if you have any questions or comments, be happy to send them to us, and we'll read them on the air, like this one from Chaka, who writes, "Don, with your experience now, would you stay with the Bigfoot woman in the Albert Ostman story?"
That's pretty interesting, and you know, it makes a lot of sense. And I don't know Albert Ostman obviously, but he didn't come forth for many years because of his fear of being laughed at. And the story, it makes sense somewhat that maybe wanted him to copulate with the daughter. They may want to have a new gene pool added to it, because they haven't got a large gene pool in the first place. So I don't doubt part of that possibility. And then how he escaped was interesting. You read that for yourself, I guess people have, it with tobacco and so on. But anyway, he had a rifle, and he didn't even, he's afraid to fire the rifle into the animal. It was a .30 caliber, which is pretty powerful, actually. You know that, how to use one. They're darn deadly. But he was afraid to shoot a Sasquatch, even out of necessity, because of the, he felt inadequate. So I can see his reasoning, and then the woman in that described sounds like, keep in mind that no ape, gorilla, or those related animals have any mammalism, or mammalism of like women in our world, real human women. Their breasts don't extend bigger than mine, which are nothing. So, I mean, it's almost non-existent on apes and gorillas compared to what women are, I mean, human women. So the descriptions they gave of the breasts in that case, too, and with Patty also, you must not forget how much of a tempest storm she is. She's actually out there like Mae West, you know. You can't deny that, and that's non-conducive to anything to do with monkeys, apes, related animals, even past or present. And MK pointed out the fact that these heads look smaller in proportion than he was used to seeing. Well, I'm not sure if anybody else gets the idea from that, but it could be explained, like I told you, somewhat. That's just one idea, and if there's more ideas on that. And keep in mind, the brain tissue mass of a brain does not matter how much necessarily. They used to think so. It still matters, but not as much as they think it did, because a mouse has a smaller brain than an elephant and so on. But how much brain tissue does it take to be intelligent? We don't know. Not really. There's a lot of questions.
Yeah, there's some people and walking around with a bunch of brain tissue that are not intelligent at all.
Well, that's true. And, I've once, on another show way back a few years ago, brought out the actual numbers of comparisons to the number of animals. And I don't forget, I can't remember all of it now. Not important. But the thing is, the brain tissue, it's considered in the crania, has to be realized. It doesn't always matter how much it's used. So you can't say they're inadequate by having a smaller brain pan than something else. The brain pan is, you know, the part of the head that contains the smarts, you know, the brain tissue. I'm not a doctor. But anyway, there's a lot of things here to consider, folks, and there's a lot more. I hate these hours-long shows because I feel bad about it. I go pretty enthusiastic. I get too enthusiastic, and I just want to share. But the thing is, there's pardon the language, but damn much out there. It's a hell of a story to tell.
Well, you know, and I was just thinking the same thought, Don. You know, unfortunately, there was a bad incident where somebody got taken, and okay, and that happens, and everybody feels bad. We're not putting any blame on that, because there are rotten, rotten people out there everywhere. And so they got taken. But the slow, gradual, mounting evidence, the number of cameras, the numbers of sightings, everybody has video on their cell phones. There's so much more technology everywhere now, so much more of these types of films and photographs and testimonies are coming to light.
Notice, Scott, that the critics out there, pseudo-critics of academic and lay, are starting to be less because they have nowhere to go. That, you know, this this idea of just, in my opinion, and you know, they say, you know, they don't say it that way. They say, this is the way it is. They want to dictate what you're allowed to discover and who's allowed to discover it and when, where, and how, and the heck it's brought forth, and who gets credit for what, and make sure it's them. And that's not the way. I'm not bad now than academics. A lot of them are wonderful people, and they're doing a wonderful job. But the ones out there, and the lay people who want to get all the credit for doing nothing, wannabes, they shouldn't even listen to. And I don't know why people do. And they can put out there that kind of information. I don't know why the pixies and fairies can't braid those manes, and neither can donkeys and jackasses might. You know what I mean?
Yes, getting back to that topic for just a second, because we're rapidly, we got about 4 minutes left in the broadcast. I haven't seen a single email from anyone that has any possible, plausible idea of how those horse manes are being braided. I mean, come on, folks, all those brains out there. We get 130,000 listeners to this broadcast, and I've gotten a bunch of emails, but not one of you guys has an idea. And I'm not criticizing that. I'm saying sometimes when you eliminate every other possibility, the only remaining item is the truth. And
you know, of course, Scott, I hope they'll buy my book in time. I really want, it's really a share book. I wrote it in 5 months, just exactly as it is. And it's going to be out soon. I've got to find a way to publish it. But anyway, I'm anxious to get it out. There's many pictures, and there are very many depictions, and it's all to be proven. And the pictures of famous people in there, and a famous horse ranch, and everything else. And I'm not quite done. I got some anomalies today, so my dad was to add right now to this whole thing I just found out this week. So it's incredible. I've got to put a plug in my book coming up. It's called The Horses Are Coming, and I hope I can get it out by some means. Of course, I'm not a publisher or not a writer. I got to write what I do. But anyway,
Don, call me during the week. I can help you with that, and we have a lot of publishing contacts after having interviewed over 10,000 authors in the company's history. We can certainly help you get that done.
Well, I'm ready if you ever want to. I don't know. I'm kind of naive about the real world. I'm in the 13th century the way I live, you know, so beyond a canoe and a rifle, I don't know what to do anymore.
Well, please call me during the week, and I'll get you started in the right path.
I will.
And
I'll
get you
some
names and numbers.
As soon as you require it. I'll get one in the mail to you with pictures the whole nine yards.
But we'll have to close on this email. Speaking of your book, it reads, Dear Don Monroe, I have a copy of your past book called Sasquatch 2001, signed by yourself and also Artist First President Mr. Tony Kay. How much is this rare book worth now in 2012? I'm guessing...
Well, after I heard there's been a $200 bill paid for one of them. I haven't got one myself. It's decent. Except the one I put in when I got it, I put one out. I had to get it copyrighted, but that's the only one I have. And then I'm doing a book now called The Wild Man. Tanya Brown edited that before she died 9 months ago. And it's right around the corner next. If I get this one going, it'd be The Wild Man series. That book in 2003 included the sequel to that. That book is quite valuable. And it's only because the things in that book all came true. There are no extended theory that didn't come through in that book, pretty much almost Hoyle. It's incredible. I didn't tend to write that book in the first place. It just notes from my 50 years of search. And I've done a lot of research in my days.
I'm almost sure we have a copy of that in the Artist First Library here. I'm almost positive.
If you do have one, Scott, guard it, because I'd like to get a copy of that myself.
I'd be happy to send it to you. I don't know why. And there's a lot of Smokey Crabtree books here as well, and some others that we've kept. And if I can find a copy, I'll make sure I can get it to
you. It's got a picture of Wild Man drawn by the Blackfoot Indians on the front cover. It's yellow-colored.
Yep.
And it's a depiction by the Blackfoot tribe.
I'm pretty sure we do have a copy, Don. If I can find that, I will absolutely get it to you. And you deserve a copy of your own book, for heaven's sakes.
Well, we'll get one back out. The same thing, but in a collage, a condensed edition, and bridge edition. Bridge is the word to use. Two books in one, because the second book was written in a sequel as answering questions from letters that came. And I'm not a writer, so I have a hard time being an explorer and all that stuff with it. Well, but yeah, we'd love to have that book back and get you another copy of the new one coming out soon, I hope so.
We're going to take care of that. In fact, we'll help you get it put up on Amazon.com, and you can sell books and make money. And
we'll make it so you make monetary gain on your show if we can, because I want to support this effort of Sasquatch Truth as much as I possibly can, because we don't want any more of this pseudo-intellectual stuff out there to make the point that's not the point. You want to cut the real goose with a real knife.
You're the real deal, Don. You've spent more time out in the wilderness researching these things than, let's say a lot of people I'm just going to get myself in trouble, so I won't say that. I'll just say that a lot more people than you might see on TV. Okay?
I got a sunburned head from Hawaii, a sunburned head on my bald spot coming. Yeah. So I guess that tells you what's been happening out there.
And you're the honest to goodness, real deal mountain man, Don Monroe. He's been...
Well, thank you, but I'm no hero, but I'll tell you what, I've seen a lot of them go down who were.
Well, folks, we are out of time for this broadcast. We have about 60 seconds till the CBS News hits. Once again, I just want to thank Don Monroe for his time. Don doesn't get paid to do this. We don't have any commercial sponsors for this program. It cost Artists First out of our pockets to do this. Don has been the biggest supporter of all, period, on this broadcast of all time. And Don, the continuation of this broadcast at one time when it was about to fold up, it was you that stepped up and made sure this program continued, and it's we've never looked back, and we've got better ratings every month ever since, Don, and it really comes down to your support, and thank you very much.
Ditto to you, and kudos. You guys are the real article show, too, and I don't know who else could come close to this show. If you listen to it, pass the word around, because M.K. Davis is incredible. I'm copper compared to him being platinum, and we're going to get this out of the gold coin before it's over.
Yeah, I wonder what we'll do when they find one. We'll have to end the show. Well, all the good things must come to an end. Like this broadcast. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. All past broadcasts are available for media downloads.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank everybody. We'll see you next month. Stay tuned. Project Urantia follows the CBS News.